Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Sukkah Daf Yud Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 5 lines from the top of Daf Yud Gimel. You'll notice there's a slash mark indicating the following is a new trend of thought. So on the side of our Gemara, we have a topic heading, Schach HaNe'egad. That refers to branches that you're using as schach, but they are tied together. The geometric form, the bow tie that you see under our mivneh, and you see the two of them in the Gemara, dugmois shel tzmochim she'agudim b'fnei atzmon. There will be two examples, essentially repetitive in the Gemara, but they're two different plants that they are branchy, but they are attached at the bottom. And we'll have an illustration in the Pirush Chai, the book of illustrations that we've been using since the beginning of the Masechta, illustration 190. You can see a plant that looks like that, and it has a type of trunk to it, and then it branches out. And in our Gemara, we're going to be talking about that very plant tied together at the other end, as you can see in 191. In addition, we're going to see a double underline used, and they will highlight the Memros Shel Rav Chisda Omar Ravino Bar Shilo. In this Gemara, he appears a couple of times. The second time that Rav Chisda appears will be in a bracketed section of the Gemara, and the reason for it appearing, therefore, is the common name factor, but not common topic issue. Because, as we said, the second appearance of Rav Chisda will be in a bracketed section. So with the structure in mind, we now turn to the Gemara. Omar Rav Gilo Omar Rav, Hai Afkusa Didikla, Misachachin Behu. The Afkusa Didikla is a part of the palm that grows in the fashion that you can see illustrated in 190. So that is what you're using as schach. And the Gemara says you can use it even though afagav da agidi, even though you see several branches that are bound together, but they're bound together naturally. Eged bidei shamayim lo shmei eged. Something that is bound together from heaven, means it grows naturally, is not a problem of a bundle of schach. Now, the issue of a bundle of schach, this we discussed in a previous shiur, where you're not supposed to use bundles. We saw a Mishnah that says we're not mesachet with chavilis, with packages, with bundles of schach. In this case, if you were just to toss on the top of your sukkah that which you see in illustration 190, so it's naturally bound together. That's how it grows, so that's okay. The Gemara continues, Afagav dehoder ogid lehu. Even if you added a tie to this naturally bound together, as you see in 191, that's also okay. Ige bechad lo shmei eged. Something that's naturally already bound, and you're binding it in and of itself, that is not considered an eged. It's not considered bound together, which is otherwise forbidden. We look at the Rashi on the upper part of the narrow lines, about the fourth narrow line, eged bechad lo shmei eged, kol dover yechidi hamechuber yachad, anything that is naturally bound together, naturally grows together, the oigdoi b'fnei atzmo, and then you tied it unto itself, eino aguda, it's not considered aguda. That word has a connotation, which is ashitein dover acher imo viagdem yachad, until you add something else to it and tie it together. That would be an eged. But here you're not adding something to that which grows naturally already in a cluster form. Omar Rav Chisto, Omar Ravino Bar Shilo. Hani Dukri Dekoni. For our purposes, Dukri Dekoni is similar to the Afkusa de Dikla, and here the Gemara is repetitive. So Dukri Dekoni is another kind of plant, but it has the same characteristics as the Afkusa de Dikla. So the Gemara says, Mesachachin Behu, Afagav de Agidinenu, even though they grow together. Eged Bidei Shemayim Lo Shme Eged, a natural binding is not considered a problem. Afagav de Hoder Ogid Luhu, even if you add another knot to it, Eged Bechad Lo Shme Eged, something that is already naturally tied, and you're tying it unto itself, is not a problem of a binding, and it's not like a chavila that is otherwise osir. Tanya nami hochi. We have a Tanaic source that supports this. Now, what happens? You can see we have a bracketed section. It's just a line and a word, because that which is in the brackets is not accurate, and the correction is right after the brackets. So the Gemara brings a source, and we skip the brackets momentarily. Konim shel dukronim misachachin behen. The konim shel dukronim is what Rav Chisto referred to as the dukri dukoni. Now let's read the brackets. The Gemara says konim vidukronim misachachin behen. The source read as is would seem to talk about two separate varieties of plants. One is konim, which are reeds, and dukronim, another kind of plant. And so if this is what the source is saying, the Gemara asks, konim shita? Konim reeds, that's a very obvious kosher form of schach. Why do you need a source to tell me that? So the Gemara says, Emo, rather say, konim shel dukronim mesachachin behen. That kind of plant, the konim shel dukronim, is, as we described already in picture 190, a plant that grows like that is acceptable. The bracketed section that appears is explained on the side. There's a double-starred note on the side. B'socha sagraim sugya binyan moror b'pesach. Within the brackets is a sugya dealing with moror of Pesach. If we skip the brackets momentarily, you'll see how that which follows afterwards is connected to that which we were just discussing. Omar Rav Chisto, and conveniently it's Rav Chisto speaking here because he in fact was the one that was speaking just before the bracketed section. So he says, Igei b'chad lo shmei eged, that is something we saw above. There, Rav Chisto was quoting Ravino Bar Shilo. He mentioned that in the Bay's note that we had above. So he says that here, that if you bind something that unto itself, it's not considered a binding. Shalosh Shmei Eged, three separate units that are bound together, that is a binding. That then would have the characteristics of a chavila that we saw in the Mishnah that said that one is not allowed to have, one is not allowed to mesachich, to cover his sukkah with chavilin. Those are bundles. Three separate units tied together would constitute a bundle, if you will. Shnayim, what about two units tied together? Machlekes Reb Yosi v'Rabbanan, the Gemara will go on to make a point that lasts a number of lines. So now that you see the structure of the Gemara, let's go into the bracketed section which deals with Moro B'Pesach. And we mentioned earlier, the only reason it's over here for our purposes is that it's the same speaker. We had Rav Chisto quoting Ravina Bar Shilo, and often throughout the Shas you see that they recount halachas, even if they appear to be disparate, but the common denominator is the name. So the Gemara says, V'omar, and the Vav of the word V'omar shows us this connection, that whatever we're saying now is connected to that which is before, and we pointed out it's the name. The Omar of Chizda Omar Avino Bar Shilo, the double underline shows you this similarity, the commonality. Hani Marirta de Agma. The word Marirta, you can see, is reminiscent of Moror. So an Agam is a marsh or a lake. So it's Moror that grows at the in the Agam. Hani Marirta Agma Adam Yoyse Bohen Yedei Choyvasu BePesach. A person can fulfill his Pesach Moror requirement. The Gemara asks, Meisvei. The Gemara raises a question. Now, it raises a question from what seems to be an unrelated topic, but the connection we will try to make shortly. The source deals with something called Ezov, and Rashi says, Kolhecha dechsiv Ezov. Wherever Ezov appears, so that and Ezov appears in different contexts in the Torah. You find the Ezov in the context of the blood applications of the Korban Pesach. You find the Ezov in the context of Por Aduma. Wherever you see Ezov mentioned, and you find it elsewhere, wherever you find Ezov, the source says, Velo Ezov Yavon, Velo Ezov Kuchli, Velo Ezov Midbori, Velo Ezov Romi. Velo Ezov Shiesh Loi Shem Levi. No, do not use these other kinds of Ezov. If the Torah says Ezov, the choice plant that you use, it must be called the Ezov plant, not the Ezov Yavani, nor all of these others, and nor something is any Ezov that has a Shem Levi. The word Levi means an accompanying name, like the word Levui is something that accompanies. So you want to have we'll call it the original type Ezov, and not these other kinds of Ezov. What's the connection to our sugya? Very simply, the pasuk says, "Almatzus morim tochlu," that on with together you eat the korban pesach with matz and moror. The Torah says, "Eat it with moror." So using this theme, use moror and not moror something else. Namely, no, don't use marira de agma. Use just something called pure moror, not marirta de agma. So why in the case of Ezov are we restrictive? In the case of Moro, we seem to be flexible and expansive. Omar Abaye. Abaye gives us a rule, and he says, Kol shenishtane shmoi koide matan Torah. We should point out that Abaye is the first approach, and then Rava is the second approach to resolving this difference. So Abaye says, wherever, Kol shenishtane shmoi koide matan Torah, wherever an item before the giving of the Torah, so historically, before giving of the Torah, several different kinds of a type of item. Let's use the example we just had. Before Matan Torah, there were already different kinds of Ezov. People referred to different types of Ezov plants. So, Kol Shenishtane. Nishtane means it had different names before the giving of Torah. Ubasa Toravik Pidoleha. And the Torah, when it speaks about Ezov, it mentions just Ezov. It doesn't give you any other options. So the Torah is makbid. The Torah itself was restrictive. Biyodua Shieshlo Shem Levi. You should know that the other items are considered variations, not the original, not the one that the Torah wants you to use. The others have a formal accompanying names, and the Torah doesn't want you to use those other varieties of the Ezov. Vehani, in the case of the Moror, lo nishtane shmayu koide matan Torah klal. There are in fact different kinds of Moror, but at the time when the Torah was given, all the different kinds of Moror were all called Moror. They didn't have different. There weren't different names, so that shows us that anything that is called moror is okay. The Torah wasn't excluding because there was no other. There were no other names associated with the different varieties. So as far as the Torah is concerned, all the different varieties of moror are considered moror. Rava Omar, Hani Marirta Stama Shmayu. What we call Marirta de Agma is in fact standard moror. The fact that it's referred to with this compound name, mishum de mishtakach ba'agma. All its purpose is to not point out a different variety, but point out where you can find it. It is found growing by lakes or marshes. Now we go back to the issue of things tied together. Amar Rav Chisda, Igeid Bechad Lo Shmei Eged, where you tie something in and of itself, that's not called a binding. Shalosh Shmei Eged, three separate units bound together, is considered a package tied together. And as we said, it would be then similar to Chavilin, which we said you cannot use as Schach. Shnayim machlokes, two units tied together, is a machlokes, and this takes a few lines to develop. The discussion here, in fact, talks about the azov that we mentioned before, and on the side of the Gemara there are no sour topic heading. We indicate mitzvahs azov. We're going to focus on where the Torah tells you to bring Ezov, Machlokas, Tanakama, Rabbi Yossi, Im, Yoitzim, Bishnei, Klochim. Does one fulfill the mitzvah by using two stalks of the Ezov plant? So we will see a source, and we emphasize it takes a number of lines to develop. Disnan. Continuing, we have a source. Mitzvahs Ezov, Shloisha Klochim, Uban Shloisha Givoylin. The mitzvah of Ezov, when the Torah says, bring Ezov, the Torah wants you to bring three stalks. Rashi calls them three shroshim. Shroshim literally are roots, so it seems to be a root, a plant that with its root attached to it. And each one of these givoilim, each one of these stalks, each one of these klochim has to have a givoil on it. Rashi says, givol l'chol kelach. And the givol is the middle stalk in which the seeds are found. The Rabbi Yossi Omer, mitzvahs ezov shloisha givoilin. In the meantime, this sounds very similar to the Tanakama, and we're going to have to find out what is the difference between them. He goes on to say, ushiorov shnayim. Rashi explains, shiorov im nofal ho'echod le'achar zman shiorov ksherim. B'shnayim, so if you originally tied together three stalks and one fell out, it's okay. The gardumov kol shehu. Gardumov, Rashi describes as if you're using the azov for the sprinkling that it's necessary for. You sprinkle with the azov. If you use the same cluster numerous times, so it shreds, it falls up, it breaks off. So what that which you are left with is called the gardumov. And as far as its dimension, it can be kosher. Even a negligible remnant is still kosher. Kos salka daitin, there is an assumption the Gemara makes, midyashar of shnayim. From the fact that Rabbi Yossi says that even if one of the three falls out and you're left with two, it's kosher. Tchiloso nami shnayim. You can actually fulfill the mitzvah if you start off with two. V'hai dikotoni shloisha, the fact that the source in Rabbi Yossi said mitzvah ezov shloisha le mitzvah. Mitzvah means that would be the best way, lechatchila, the best way to fulfill your requirement. However, you can fulfill your requirement even if you had only two. Umedu Rabbi Yossi shloisha le mitzvah. From fact, Rabbi Yossi is saying that the three is only a first choice. The Rabbanon, who argue with Rabbi Yossi, their mention of three is le'akev, is binding. And if you like the pun, then enjoy it for all it's worth. The three are binding. And as we said before, the issue of two, then, is a machtu, tied together, is a machloikis, Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanon. According to Rabbi Yossi, that is considered an eged. And according to, because the pasuk, we saw this in a previous year, the pasuk says, "Lukachtem agudas ezov." Agudas is eged, something bound together. And if two is sufficient, so then two bound together would be considered an eged, a binding. And according to the Rabbanan, no, you have to have three. Less than that, two would not be a binding. And the nafkamina for us then would be two branches or two reeds and tie them together. Can you use them as chach? According to the Rabbanan, you'd be able to. And according to Rabbi Yossi, no. The Gemara asks, we set up Rabbi Yossi as saying two is, you can use two at the outset. It's not the best thing to do, but you can use it. Two azov stalks tied together. We're going to now ask the Tanya, but do we not have the following source? Rabbi Yossi Omer azov shetchiloso shnayim ushiorov echad posel. An azov where you started out with two, and that's not good. And if one fell out, that's no good. The only acceptable situation is if you started out with three, and if one fell out afterwards, that's also okay. But what we want to emphasize, keep things as simple as possible, use the markings. We dashed, underlined, and this we're going within Rabbi Yossi, Tchilosa Shlosha, arrow to the side, align it with what you see above. There it said, Shnayim, Tchilosa Shnayim. That's as far as Rabbi Yossi was concerned. So here he's saying three, there he's saying two. Epoch, the Rabbi Yossi, Shloshel Akev, the Rabbanan, Shloshel Mitzvah. So the solution is switch around the Shitos to read as follows. That according to Rabbi Yossi, three is Ma'akev. And you'll notice this, we have a little star to the side. And above we had Rabbi Yossi saying Shlosha LaMitzvah. Here we see the Rabbanan saying Shlosha LaMitzvah. So we switched them around. Rabbi Yossi then holding like this most recent source that you have to have your three at the outset. It's not just a Lechatchila, but it's Ma'akev, it's binding. And according to Rabbanan, three is Lechatchila, but two is Kosher. And we want to emphasize that now. We wrote that above the lines, that according to the Rabbanon, Shnayim is kosher. V'hotanya, here V'hotanya is a support, what Rashi calls benichusa. And you'll notice that there's a long point which takes you to the top line of Omid Beis, V'hotanya, and to support this, we have the following source, which we are going to refer to as the Shita of the Rabbanon. Ezov shetchiloso Shnayim ushiorov echod kosher. Now, before we start looking into things at any depth, there is something obviously problematic here, but you see, we dashed underlined Tchiloso Shnayim, and it says regarding that kosher. That's what we want to see right now. So this source supports the epoch, the switch around that we did just before, the Rabbanan holding, two azovs tied together is kosher. Question: Shiara vechod posel. The end of the source we just read mentioned that shiara vechod is considered posel, but ho amr shiara vechod kosher. But you said, and compare, use the markings. Notice the dot underline we had just two lines above. But the same source said shiara vechod is kosher. Here you're saying at the end of the source that shiara vechod is posel. Continuing at the top of Omid Beis, Elo Emo, rather state Ad Shetehei. In other words, there is no psul, there's no disqualification, Ad Shetehei Tchilosu Kishorov Echad, unless you start off with one which would be reminiscent of a case of Shiorov. So after all is said and done, you're not allowed to start off with one. That would be puzzle. However, Shiorov, if you started off with two and were left with one, that's okay. But we don't want you to start off with just one stalk when the Torah expects you to fulfill the mitzvah of Ezov. We continue with, we have triangles here. And these are examples of things that are tied together, and their use or prohibition within the context of schach. Dorash meimer hani isuraisa desura mesachachin behu. to appreciate what Isuraisa de Suras, we look at the Rashi. Chavile konim, shoyu oisim limkor bashuk. These are bundles of reeds that were bundled together for sale in the market. Umoichun oisim b'minyan. They were sold in quantities. Someone would order, I want 5 bundles, I want 10 bundles. It appears that there was a standard size to these bundles, and they were bundled together in that standard form. Now, the explanation we're giving is stated slightly clearer in the Rabbeinu Hananel. We have this underlined third line in the Rabbeinu Hananel commentary, where it says Shekoshno Som Lemoichron Bemispar Kach VeKach Agudos. People would come to the shuk, to the market, asking, "I want such and such number of bundles." So these were bundled together for marketing purposes. And the Gemara says that bundles of reeds that you got from the market, they were bundled together for sale purposes, you can mesachech with them. Afal gav the ogdon, the Gemara says, even though they were tied together, the issue of gezeras otsar, and that was the topic of our previous shiur, which I don't want to spend time going over all of that again. Go back to the previous shiur where the Mishnah of Ein Mesachet B'Chavilos was mentioned, where you're not allowed to use a sukkah that's covered with bundles. That rabbinic restriction doesn't apply if you've covered your sukkah with Isuraisa de Sura. Why? Laminyona be'alma hu de'ogdan. Their original purpose of being tied together was only for sale purposes. They were not tied together for storage purposes, for storing and drying out purposes. And that, again, is a throwback to what we discussed in our previous year about bundles that would be tied together, bundles of other kinds of plants that needed to be dried out, and they would be thrown onto the top of a shed for drying out purposes. And that is something we wanted to avoid when it comes to using that setup for a sukkah. Nevertheless, that has no application to the Isuraisa de Sura, because the reeds in question they didn't need to be dried out. They were bound together, not for drying storage purposes, but simply for marketing purposes. As we said, people would buy bundles of reeds, and we assumed that there was a standard size of these bundles, and people would order their reeds in terms of number of bundles. So if you toss them onto the top of a shed for sukkah purposes, the Rabbanan will find no objection to using that. We continue in the Gemara, but before we do so, we look at illustration 193. This, Rashi says, was a device that hunters used to hunt birds. They would hide in these type of called tent slat setup. The illustration shows reeds, if you will, or slats that were tied together tightly at the top and left kind of just loosely woven at the bottom, wide at the bottom, and the hunters would crawl into that waiting for birds to settle nearby and then trap them. So this is what Rabbi Abba, Hani Tsrifi de Urbani, Kevon Shehutra Roshe Ma'adonin Shalahem Ksherim. If you see the aleph in the illustration, that's that top knot which would hold these slats together. So if you undid that knot, you can throw the rest of it onto the sukkah. The Gemara asks, "V'ha agidi mitatoi," but are they not tied together at the bottom? And again, we're using the illustration. You see how they're interwoven at the bottom. So, what about that? Is that not still a problem of something that's agud, a chavila problem? So the Gemara answers, we have two approaches. Omar Rav Papa, the Shari Lahu. So Rav Papa says, yes, you have to undo them as well. Rav Huna braid Rav Yeshua Omar, he says otherwise. There's a filu tema de lo shori lahu, even if you don't undo them. Nevertheless, kol eged shena asui litaltaloi loi shmei eged. That which is, albeit it's bound together, but it's not bound together for the purpose of moving it as a package. The interweaving at the bottom of this Shrifa de Urbani is there because that's the way you make it for someone to crawl in and have enough room there. But it's not interwoven for the purpose of transportation purpose. It should be able to move it in one mass as it is. So it's not an egged that's also l'taltaloi. Taltal is to move it. Let us look in the Rashi. Rashi de Shori Lahu, this is what Rav Papa's approach was. Matir Roshe Hachud Shu Kalua Bo V'eino Tzorach Lahafkia Hakliya. According to Rav Papa, and you can see this is illustrated in 193, where the interwoven material appears at the front of that Srifa Dorbani. It was knotted. So as far as Rav Papa is concerned, you have to undo that knot. As far as Rav Huna, though, is concerned, you don't have to undo that knot. Rashi continues in the Dibur Masel She'enu Osu L'Tafel K'gon Zeh She Mishehitir Kesher Elyon. Once you untie the top knot, Im Ato Metatelo, if you try to move it now, Hu Nitek Me'elov She'enu Ela Piv Kalua Kemin G'dil Echozes HaNetzorem. The whole thing will fall apart. Once you untie that upper knot, where it was tightly bound, and now it's untied there. And if you try to move it, the whole thing is going to fall apart because all that holds it together right now is that which is interwoven. And again, we're relying on the diagram. So those of you who might not have the diagram in front of you, this might be a little difficult to understand. But we continue in the Gemara. It's a throwback to the Moror Sugya, but it has relevance to Schach. So, therefore, we're not putting this in a brackets, but we're just noting the interesting connection. Omar Rabbi Abba, Omar Shmuel, Yerokos, She'omru Chachomim, Odom, Yoitse, Bohen, Yedei, Choyvosel, B'Pesach. The vegetables that the Rabbonin said you can fulfill your Moror requirements. So there are three points that we can say regarding such vegetation. One, Mevian es hatuma. If you had a stalk of this kind of vegetation and it was covering, let us say, a piece of corpse matter, mace, and further on underneath this stalk that was overshadowing the corpse material, you had some food or a vessel, so it would serve as an oihel. It would be an overshadow, and it would thereby be able to conduct the tumah from the corpse material to the other item that are both, they're simultaneously underneath this stalk of vegetation that you'd be able to use as moror. Now Rashi points out umavina satuma ba'oidin lachen, as long as they are still fresh, the chokama delo yashi oilhu midoraisa, as long as it hasn't dried out, it still will have a din of an oil. An oil is an overshadow, trapping the tuma underneath it, thereby causing it to spread to that which is also underneath it simultaneously. Now that is a din d'oraisa. That means on a Torah level, it is an ohel. Number two, v'ein choytzin b'fnei hatuma. Now this is very tricky. Generally speaking, something that's classified as an ohel, something that's an overshadow, it serves also to block the tumah from rising above it. However, here, we say ein choytzitzin b'fnei atum, it won't block the tumah from rising above it, and that is a din derabbanan. That's a rabbinic stringency that we are imposing here. And number three, upoislin besuka mishum avir. If you use this vegetation that is suitable for moror, and you use it as schach, and you have, let's say, three consecutive hand breaths of this, of these, let's say, moror stalks covering your sukkah, that will passel your sukkah. Now, again, this is a rabbinic stringency. The Gemara explains, my taima, why is it considered as if it's avir? It's covering your sukkah, and yet we're viewing it as if it's airspace. And airspace, if you have, let us say, a strip across your sukkah of three hand breaths that are uncovered, where there's just a gap of three tfachim of airspace in your schach, so that will, if you have, let's say, a three-walled sukkah, then you have a strip of airspace running across the top of it, that will render your sukkah unfit. Let's just assume for the time being that you've got a minimum size sukkah, and you have this airspace of three tefachim, so then you no longer have a kosher sukkah. So that the stalks of moror, if used as schach, are not acceptable. Not only are they not acceptable, they're not considered schach posel, but rather they're considered air. Schach posel, in fact, is a more lenient situation. If, let's say, you had metal bars, that's schach posel, or you had food that you were using as schach, it would be unfit only if you have four hand breaths, four tefachim of that. Here, and that's why the Gemara is careful to say that this moror isn't viewed as schach posel. It's viewed in a more stringent fashion. It's viewed as if it's not there. It's viewed as avir. And the Gemara asks, my taima, why is it being viewed as that? Answer, kevon delechi yavshi parchi v'nafli, since when these moror plants, when they dry out, they disintegrate. Parchi, they disintegrate and fall away, nafli. So we go one step further and we say kemanda les nedom, even if they're fresh right now, we anticipate them drying out and people won't pay attention and you'll be left with airspace. So even as they are right now, we say it's as if they're not there. Now, with all this having been said, we can now go over the 3 points. Again, number one, we said mevina satuma. First of all, the moror, and a lot, and what we're saying you can find in the Rashi as well, the moror is not considered oichlin. It's not considered something, a food item. So being that it's not considered a food item, it can serve as an oihel. There's a rule. Something that is mekabel tuma doesn't function as an oihel. However, this is not this is not food. It's moror. It's something in English we refer to it as bitter herbs. It's not something that people eat. By the way, these classifications and all have to be analyzed further, but it's beyond the context of our Gemara markings here, because we do speak about people fulfilling their moror requirement by eating romaine lettuce. And romaine lettuce is a common food item. But exactly how do you resolve that point with what we're saying right now, that the moror is something that's not meichel adam, that has to be dealt with in a separate context. But certainly, if a person has the custom, let's say, of eating horseradish root, well, horseradish root is not, as it is, unless you grind it up and add other items to it and let it cool off, so to speak, it's a very sharp item. As it is, it's not something that's fit for human consumption as a food. So that would be something easier to imagine in this discussion, being that it's not a food item, so it can serve as an oihel. And we said before, midoraisa, it would be chotzeitz b'fnei atuma. However, rabbinically, we say that it's not going to be chotzeitz b'fnei atuma. That's a function of the fact that eventually it dries out and disintegrates, so we can't allow something that has that property of being in a tuma blocker. That's what ein chotzeitz b'fnei atuma means. And the third point we already explained, we don't let you use it as chach because we're afraid that it'll dry out and disintegrate, leaving an airspace of three tvachim. So even when you are putting it up there and it's physically there, it still is unfit, and it'll be unfit to the extent that if you have three tvachim of it, it'll ruin your sukkah. We continue. V'omar Rabbi Abba, Omar Rav Huna. Now, here the Vav appears V'omar Rabbi Abba. It's very likely because we saw before Rabbi Abba quoting Shmuel, so here's another comment of Rabbi Abba. However, here he is quoting Rav Huna. Before we continue in the Gemara, a word of background is necessary. We're going to discuss something called Yodos. And on the side of the Gemara, by the way, we have a topic heading, and we note that this topic goes until Daf Yud Dalid Omen Aleph. Yodos. Yodos literally are handles. Handles of items. Stems of many fruits. You pick up fruits often by the stem, and it's considered a handle. Now, that stem, when you are interested in the stem being attached to the fruit, so in our note we indicate Yad Peros Dover HaMekabel Tuma. If let us say a source of defilement, let's take a dead mouse. A dead mouse, if it comes into contact with food, there will be, let's be specific, we'll talk about fruits or vegetation that has stems and stalks that are attached to the actual food item. The dead sheretz, which is a source of defilement, in our discussion, doesn't touch the actual fruit or grain, but rather touches the stem or the stalk. That is a yad, the stem or the stalk, and it is capable of absorbing tumah, and it will conduct the tumah to the food item itself, even though the food item did not come into direct contact with the source of defilement. But the yad is a conduit of tumah, and we speak about that in terms of it's a dover hamakabel tumah. It's something that becomes, it absorbs tumah. The Gemara will mention, and we have it broken down into two topics. Roman number one, habotzer legas and hakotzer leschach. There are two separate cases. Common to both cases is the issue of the stem. You have a person, botzer, is harvesting of grapes, lagas, for the press. Harvesting of grapes. Grapes are naturally grow on grape clusters. All the branchy stem material that is attached to the grape, or the grape is attached to it. So one harvests grapes, lagas, for the purpose of making wine. And we're going to be focusing in on the stems that are attached to those grapes. Another scenario is hakotzer leschach. He harvests stalks of grain with the intention of covering his sukkah with them. Now, the grain itself is something that is food. It's considered a food item. You cannot use you can't use grains for covering your sukkah. However, the grain is attached to a long stalk. And what our party is interested in is using the stalks for his schach. However, the stalks are also attached to the grains. And we're going to be, just to remind you, the yad, the stem or the stalk, if you are interested in it being there, if you're interested in the attachment, let's emphasize that, you're interested in the fact that it is attached to the food. You are happy with that. So it then takes on a din yad. And a yad is something that's mekabel tumo. And in the context of schach and sukkah, you know that a dover hamekabel tumo is unfit for using as schach. The next issue that is going to be dealt with is bitul hayad. I want to neutralize the yad. In the case of schach, so obviously, if I want to use the stalk, which is itself not a food item, if I want to use it as schach, I'm going to have to remove the yad status that it currently has. I have to neutralize the yad status. Now, how do I do that? So there will be the idea of machshava, a simple decision, or maisa, an action is necessary. That having been said, let us now turn to the Gemara. The Omer Rabbi Abba Omer Rav Huna, Habotzer Lagas, someone who harvests grapes for wine purposes, Ein Lo Yodos. The stems that are attached to those grapes do not have a yad status. And the nafkamina, the practical outcome of that would be, if a dead mouse touches that stem, the grape does not become tomei. Rav Menashe Bar Gadom Rav Huna, here's another version of Rav Huna. That's why we have the names marked as they are. We've got dashed underlines of Rav Abba and Rav Menashe, and we solid underline Rav Huna. These are two versions of Rav Huna. Hakotzer l'schach. Here's an illustration that it has relevance to this illustration 195. He harvests stalks of grain for the purpose of using them as his schach. So one who's kotzer l'schach, ein lo yodos. The stalk does not have a din yad. It's not classified as a yad. It's not, and therefore it's not mekabel tumo, and therefore it's kosher for schach, even though it's physically attached to the grains. But you're not interested in that attachment, according to this approach. According to Rav Menashe Bar Gada, apparently, you're not interested in the attachment. You're not interested in the grains. You harvested for the purpose of schach. Therefore, you can use the grain, the stalks, with the grain attached to them, and just toss them on the top of your sukkah as schach, and that's fine. We look at the Rashi. You'll find this under the Gemara text in the wide lines of the Rashi, about six lines down into there. It says, "Hakotzer l'schach ein hakashin mevien tumo al ha'oichel." The stalks do not transmit tuma to the grains attached to them. The lo nicho le bechiburin. He's not interested in the attachment. The oichel b'schach lo miboy. The food he doesn't need for his schach. The grains themselves he doesn't need. The e lav the psoilus meruba alav have a posulah l'sukah. If not for the fact that the stalk is greater in quantity than the food itself that's attached to it, it wouldn't even be suitable as schach. He's not, so bottom line is, he's not interested in the attachment, because he is interested in using the stalks as his schach, and therefore the stalks do not have a din of a yad, and therefore they're not mekabel tumo, and it's kosher for schach. What we want to do now is analyze or pit Rabbi Abba off of Rav Menashe. Man de Omar Kotzer. According to Rav Menashe Bar Gada, the case of the Kotzer L'schach is considered a non-yad. Kol Shekein Boitzer de Lo Nicholei. He all the more so would tell you that in the grape stem situation, all the more so it's a non-yad. It's even more obvious that he's not interested in that attachment, because he wants to use the grapes for making wine, delo nimse lechamre. He doesn't want the stems there to absorb the wine. The stems, if you put stems together with the grapes into the press, the stems will absorb the wine or some of the wine, and he's not interested in that. So as far as someone who's botzer legas, if you were to ask Rav Menashe Bar Gada about botzer legas, he would say all the more so that there is no din of yad regarding the stems. Now in this sugya, what might be confusing is that when we speak about the grapes, we're not talking about grapes as schach. We're analyzing, we're focusing in on the status of the stem or the stalk. So knowing what Rav Menashe's attitude is toward stems and stalks from the case of Kotzer L'Schach, I am able to easily conclude what his opinion would be regarding the status of the stems in the grapes that you want for winemaking. Mand Yomar Botzer She'en Lo Yodos, according to Rav Abba though, who said that Botzer Legas, the grape stems are not a yad, well, that's because there he's really upset, so to speak, that the stems are there. Aval kotzer, yesh lo yados. In the case of someone who harvests for schach, who harvests grain stalks for schach purposes, there is a yad status. He is happy with this attachment. The nichole the liskach behu kihechi de lo livderon. He is happy that the food is attached to the stalks that he's using as schach, so that it prevents the stalks from scattering. We look at Rashi, the lo livderon, nichlu lei ba'oichal mechuber bahen. He's happy with the food that's attached to the stalks. Shim yavdil roshei shibolin. Min hakashim, if the food becomes detached from the top of the straw, the stalk, shemu yispazru v'yechol ibud, they might scatter and get lost. It appears from Rashi that the food serves as a type of weight. It adds weight so that it would prevent them from scattering. So even though the food end of the stalk, the grain part itself, is not serving as the schach per se, but it is of value insofar that it adds weight, preventing them from scattering. So, as we said before, if you are happy about the attachment, that is enough to grant it yad status. And now, what's most important then for sukkah purposes, it would not be acceptable, you could not use it as chach. The Gemara continues with a question. Notice this is a long question. Neimo de Rav Menashe Bar Gada Tanoihi. Should we say that Rav Menashe's approach is a machlokis, that what he says is a machlokis tanoim? Later, the Gemara will point out that as far as Rabbi Abba's approach to things, he is definitely going to be the subject of a machlokis tanoim, which is not a comfortable position, but he has one tana to rely on. Our question right now is going to be, what about Rav Menashe Bar Gada? Is his opinion subject to a machlokis tanoim? So it's a long question. Neimo de Rav Menashe Bar Gada Tanoihi, de Sanya. The Tanakh source says, and this source has a list of all kinds of different vegetations in it, and we're not interested in translating all of them, but we want to focus in on the issue of the yodos. Sochei te'enim ubahem te'enim. The Rashi mentions sochei te'enim anofei te'enim, branches of figs. So sochei te'enim that have branches, fig branches that have figs on them. Parchilin ubahen anovim, clusters of grapes with the grapes attached to the cluster. Kushin uben shibolim, stalks that have grains attached to them. Mechabdois ben tamorim, likewise with regard to dates and their clusters. Kulon, with regard to all of these, impsoilis meruba ala oichlin, if the branch material, the non-edible part, is greater than the edible, ksheira, it's suitable for schach. V'im lav, and if that's not the case, psula, then you cannot use it as chach. Acherim omrim, adshu koshin merubin al hayodos ve'al ha'ochlin. In the case of the stalks, now this we didn't spell out in a detailed fashion earlier, but the acherim are interested in the lower part of the stalk being greater in quantity, the kashin are mruben al hayados ve'al ha'ochlin. The yados is the part of the stalk that's immediately attached to the grain itself. So if you have, you can use the illustration if it helps you, where you see a stalk of grain. So the amount, the part of the stalk that you would be able to grab with your hand, say a fistful of stalk right under the grain, that is the yad in this context. So that this opinion, the Achirim say that the kashim, the lower part of the stalk, has to be greater in quantity, not only than the food itself, the grains, but the yad part of the stalk as well. Let's read that again. Achshu kashin ruben al hayodos v'al ha'oichlin. My lav behal kumithli. There must be that the following is the machlokus between the Tanakama and the Achirim. There was a first opinion that didn't make any mention of being mevatel the yad. In other words, if I don't have to mevatel the yad, it means that it's not that the entire stalk right up to the bottom of the grain itself is considered a mere stalk and not considered a yad. So, what is the underlying point of machlokis? The more sovar yesh lahen yados, the achirim would say that the case of kotzer l'schach, someone who harvests the grain with the stalk, it does have a yad, and therefore I have to mevatel it. The yad, we said, is something that's makabel tuma, and therefore it's not suitable for schach, so I have to cancel, I have to neutralize it with a greater amount of non-yad material, namely the rest of the stalk. So the achirim would be unlike Rav Menashia Bar Gada. Remember, above Rav Menashia Bar Gada says, "Kotzer l'schach ein lo yodos." And here we're saying the Achirim will hold yesh yodos. Umor savar. We continue in the Gemara. The first opinion, ein lohen yodos. He would take the opinion like Rav Menashia Bar Gada. So at this point, it would appear that Rav Menashia Bar Gada is the subject of a machlokes tanoim. Le Rebbe Abba vaday tanoihi. As far as Rabbi Abba is concerned, what did Rabbi Abba say? Rabbi Abba said that only in the case of grape harvest, ein lo yados, because he's totally dissatisfied with the stem being there. But kotzer l'schach, Rabbi Abba said, yesh yados. So Rabbi Abba would find support only in the form of the achirim, who say that there is yad. He would, and therefore, he is a tanoi. He means that Rabbi Abba's position is the subject of a machlokes tanoim. Rabbi Abba then finding, let's say, his tanaic counterpart in the achirim. L'Rav Menashia Bar Gada mi lema tanoihi. According to Rav Menashia Bar Gada, said kotzer l'schach ha'ein lo yados. Is he too a subject of machlokes tanoim, and that he would agree only with the Tanakamo? Omar loch Rav Menashia. Rav Menashia responds, "De kule alma savri hakotzer l'schach ein lo yados." Everyone will agree. The Tanakam and the Chum agree that someone who harvests for schach purposes, there is no yad. The hocha b'mayaskinon, and the case here, kagon shekotzitzon la'achilo v'nimlach alein l'sichuch. He harvested it initially for eating purposes. He didn't harvest it for schach purposes. Now he harvested for eating purposes. There, he is definitely interested in the attachment to the stalk. However, he then changed his mind and wanted to use it for schach purposes. So there was a change of mind. The Gemara asks, and this is a long question, it goes quite a few lines down on Daf Yud Dalid to the first wide line. Being that in order to complete this question, it will take us quite a ways down the next Omid, so this would be a somewhat convenient pausing point. It will force us, Amir Tzashem, in our next year to recap that which we have said till now. But before we conclude, let us just remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.